One of the things I love about this service, especially as we serve it in the monastic style with the full reading of the Kathisma, is kind of boring. That is to say, it's long. It makes us wait. We have to sit quietly and focus and listen. Things that we don't often do in this society. We have lots and lots of ways to fill that empty time, to fill it up with entertainment and busyness and whatever else, so that we don't have to think about what does this time that we have that's been given to us by God, this life that just kind of keeps going and going and going until our death. What does it mean? And the context within which we are given to wait, and this is, I think, particularly apropos to these bridegroom matin services, because of course the whole name revolves around, Behold, the bridegroom comes at midnight. We are waiting for the bridegroom to come, like the 10 virgins, five of whom were foolish and five of whom were wise, waiting for him to arrive so that we can enter into that marriage supper of the Lamb, that great wedding feast. But we're waiting. And as we wait, what does it mean? And we have this understanding, this great hope that at the end of all things, we will be with God in glory. But in the meantime, we're waiting. We have to keep waiting. But the context within which we wait is drenched in the recitation of the Psalter, drenched in the hymns of the people of God, the people of Israel, the meditations of the psalmist and the king David. And one of the things that struck me tonight is, as I'm listening, we're so separated from the natural world around us. But if we have any experience at all of that natural world, it's all through there. We heard the psalm speaking of the breath of God, which is stripping away the branches. And I count myself blessed to have experienced that very thing in the great windstorms that sweep down our valley and shake the trees. And I count myself blessed to have heard the trees cracking and falling in the forest and falling with a huge crash, the earth-shaking crash, to the ground as the breath of God is sweeping them away and uprooting those great, strong, apparently invulnerable organisms that beside which I am like a puny shrimp of a thing. And I can push as much as I like with all my might. I'm not going to topple one of these great cedars, but the wind, the breath of God can do it. And this is the God whom we worship and serve. This is the God whom we adore. The creator of the entire universe, who sustains every single atom with his mighty hand, who spoke into being the stars and the planets and the galaxies. This is the God whom we worship and adore. This is the God on whom we wait. This is the God who came to us in the puny, helpless, insignificant form of a human being. It wasn't even as strong as one of those great horses or chariots or any of those weapons of war and just mass destruction that we have devised that are so powerful and so easily extinguish a human life. He wasn't even as powerful as those. He couldn't hold up to the tree of the cross in its human form. And he partook of death with us, that helpless state with us, united himself to us in our weakness, in this extreme humility as a manifestation of his care for us. Because if we think about the God who created heaven and earth and all that is in it, the God who is this, who shakes the earth with the volcanic tremors and whose breath destroys the forest, where's the compassion in that? Where's the connection in that? We can feel fear and tremble in the presence of that manifestation of God, but we can't really know him. There's no manifestation that reveals that he knows us. But what he reveals to us as we wait for him, as we wait upon him, renewing our strength, he reveals to us that he is uniting himself to us that he might unite us to himself, that we might mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And that this life that he has given to us, in which we wait for him, is infused with both his power and his love. And so we can wait with wisdom and with joy, knowing that he is not only there at the end of the journey, he is here with us in our humility, manifesting his incarnate love for us, that we might be with him to his glory, the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.